Lighthouses have inspired our best songwriters, poets, and painters. They symbolize faithfulness, bravery, truth. Many families are like ships adrift in a troubled sea. A recent study showed that our teens prefer the traditional stable two-parent family modeled by Ozzy and Harriet in the 50s to the bizarre, dysfunctional family modeled by Ozzy Osbourne. But they have little hope in their marriages will last. The dominant influences in their lives reinforce the message of moral ambivalence that has destroyed so many families in America. Our peer-sensitive kids are constantly barraged by messages of disdain for Christianity. And yet, it is in Christianity that our families can find the help and support they need to achieve the family stability they desire. But there is a lighthouse for the family, shining the light of truth, piercing the darkness of deceit that has settled over our land. And that is why the word lighthouse is in our name. Visit the Lighthouse Baptist Church, 1310 West Bedaravia Road in Santa Maria. Look for the lighthouse. Call 347-9887 for more information.
Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. How to know if you are a lights on or a lights off listener? If after 5 minutes or less of Pastor Scheidbach's brain massage, sounds like these begin involuntarily emanating from your throat, you are a lights-off listener suffering liberal colic syndrome. On the other hand, if this sound rises in your heart at the sound of Pastor Scheidbach's voice, you are a lights-on listener reveling in the light of truth, justice, and the American way. Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, my dear friends. It's Jerry Scheidbach, Brain Masseur. Get ready for your brain massage.
Truth, served here, flavored by delectable wit, delicious sarcasm, succulent sagacity, a gourmet meal for the mind.
What are you thinking about today? Are you concerned about the United States hitting the debt ceiling December 31st? Or perhaps the car of state careening toward the fiscal cliff? How about the fact that the Dems want to tax your health benefits in order to give you free health care? Oh, these simpletons. Or maybe you're thinking about the rising attack on our Second Amendment rights. I promise to follow up on that today, and I will in the second segment. But maybe you should be concerned about Senate Bill 3254, the National Defense Authorization Act of 2013. It allows Congress, we're told, to authorize the DOD to violate our Fourth Amendment protection from search and seizure without warrant, our Fifth Amendment protections against prosecution for crimes and the deprivation of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, and our Sixth Amendment right to a speedy trial by jury with representation. You know, all of these rights are premised upon the fundamental and natural right of habeas corpus. Habeas corpus means you have the body, or essentially your body is your own, and so no one can touch it without your permission except by the legal issuance of a warrant of arrest and, the due process thing. It's a recognition that each person has a natural right of ownership of their own person with legal roots reaching all the way back into the Magna Carta. And dear Senator Rand Paul is concerned that Senate Bill 3254 provides for Congress to strip away our habeas corpus protections stipulated in the Fourth, Fifth, and Sixth Amendments. According to the good senator, the earlier version of the bill, quote, had protection, end quote. He said, quote, "We passed an amendment that specifically said, if you were an American citizen or here legally in the country, you would get a trial by jury," end quote. But, he goes on to say, quote, "it's been removed because they want the ability to hold American citizens without trial in our country," end quote. Huh. Well, anyway, I read through the bill. Yeah, I do that sort of thing. Mercy. And the language he's referring to is actually still in the bill. So I'm not sure where Rand Paul is coming from, unless there is another version out there that has yet to be presented for vote. In any event, let's read the section, Senate Bill 3254. You'll find it in section 1033. That's all you need is the section number, since all the sections are numbered consecutively throughout. Quote, section 1033, prohibition of the indefinite detention of citizens and lawful permanent residents. Section 4001 of Title 18 United States Code is amended, one, by redesignating subsection B as subsection C, and two, by inserting after subsection A the following. I know it gets laborious, but here it is. an authorization to use military force, a declaration of war, or any similar authority shall not authorize the detention without charge or trial of a citizen or lawful permanent resident of the United States apprehended in the United States unless an act of Congress expressly authorizes such detention. Paragraph 1, the paragraph I just read, applies to an authorization to use military force, a declaration of war, or any similar authority enacted before, on, or after the date of the enactment of the National Defense Authorization Act for fiscal year 2013. And then finally, quote, paragraph 1 shall not be construed to authorize the detention of a citizen of the United States, a lawful permanent resident of the United States, or any other person who is apprehended in the United States, end quote. Now, you see, the prohibition against indefinite detention of U.S. citizens or persons here legally is still in the bill. Nevertheless, the bill does say Congress can hold a U.S. citizen indefinitely, a clear violation of our Fourth, Fifth, and Sixth Amendment rights, if it so chooses. Notice it says, quote, unless an act of Congress expressly authorizes such detention, end quote. Well, we thought the whole point of the Bill of Rights and the rest of the amendments was to provide against exactly that kind of infringement of our liberties, right? So why would so many of our senators, on both sides of the aisle, as they say, support this bill? And by the way, even Rand Paul supported this version of the bill, the one I quoted from. Well, my friends, it so happens that the Constitution does, in fact, give Congress the power to suspend our rights of habeas corpus under Article 1, Section 9, delineating limitations of the powers of Congress. In paragraph number 2, we read, quote, the privilege of the writ of habeas corpus shall not be suspended unless, when in cases of rebellion or invasion, the public safety may require it, end quote. Now, ordinarily, this would not be of any particular concern to us. But with the new Democrat running the show, the neo-Dem, who has no respect at all for the whole concept of inalienable rights endowed to us by our Creator, well, we're concerned. The neo-dim-witted, calm down, Michael Moore, I'm just being playful. It's dim, D-E-M, and wit, W-I-T, or those whose wits are instructed by the neo-democratic ideology, okay? But with the neo-dim-witted who desire to bring us totally under the control of the government deciding what rights we should have, well, we're concerned. Consider what we've seen them do recently with their arbitrary usurpation of power over the Constitution, breaking down the whole principle of representative governance, and enforcing Obamacare down our throats. We are concerned they might arbitrarily decide certain persons are in rebellion. You know, such as gun owners who refuse to turn in their guns, or Christians who dare preach in public or mention Jesus' name in public. You know, folks like that, those God and gun clingers, and then simply strip us of our liberties. And consider there is a precedent for using a situation where certain people acting on their presumptive natural rights find themselves labeled by the state as rebels and have their constitutionally protected rights suddenly declared void, even though they did not pose a threat to public safety. Yeah, Abraham Lincoln unilaterally suspended the rights of Southerners. Now, this is a complicated matter, and most of us certainly have sympathy with the whole freeing the slave issue. No doubt about that. But wherever you are on that issue should not affect the way you look at this with regard to constitutional law. Lincoln considered the southern states that seceded and formed a confederacy were forming an insurrection against the government, and he acted accordingly. However, he didn't wait for the Congress to convene to decide the matter. He took the powers that belonged exclusively to the Congress and acted in his own person. Now, with Spielberg's movie out, it's a good time to take a look at this. Rumblings about secession were going on long before Lincoln showed up. Secession already had been declared by 7 southern states near the end of Buchanan's term. These states formed the Confederacy. South Carolina, acting as an independent nation in the Confederacy, demanded that the United States remove all troops from their borders, and specifically from their own Charleston Harbor. When Abraham Lincoln became president, Major Anderson, under orders from Lincoln, it is presumed, refused to leave South Carolina, and he took up a position in Fort Sumter. Meanwhile, the Confederate general was massing troops surrounding Sumter. Lincoln notified the governor of South Carolina of his intention to send an unarmed merchant ship to resupply Anderson. Well, the governor responded to this with an ultimatum that Lincoln immediately remove all U.S. troops from Charleston Harbor. Lincoln ignored this demand, and he sent the resupply ship anyway. The Confederates fired on the ship and then repeated their demands that Lincoln order Anderson out of Fort Sumter. Lincoln ignored these demands, and soon thereafter, the Confederates began bombarding Fort Sumter until finally Anderson had to surrender. Lincoln decided this was an act of rebellion and insurrection, and he sent 75,000 volunteers to put down the rebellion. The Civil War was underway. Now you can decide who was the aggressor. Buchanan had taken the position that while the secession was illegal, it was also illegal to suppress it by force. Lincoln, however, decided he was going to do anything necessary to preserve the Union, including independently suspending their rights of habeas corpus. Now let's look at this for a few minutes. In the recent movie by Spielberg, then-President Lincoln thunders, quote, "I am the President of the United States of America, clothed with immense power," end quote. I haven't seen the movie yet, and I have no idea where Spielberg came up with that. But when you examine how Lincoln acted, you might decide Spielberg can be forgiven for putting these words in Lincoln's mouth. For example, consider. First, Lincoln unilaterally declared the Confederate states to be in rebellion and independently of the Congress called for 75,000 troops to deal with them. Not only the Congress has the authority to declare war or to call forth the militia to execute the laws of the Union, including in the case of suppression of insurrections. Lincoln considered the matter one of urgency that required immediate action, so he went forward to protect the public safety. Anyway, he was the first to break down that constitutional barrier between the executive and legislative branches. Since then, we hammered out a sort of compromise between the two branches on this issue, but that's beside the point. Before Congress was convened, which convened in July of 1861, Lincoln had already declared a naval blockade of the South. He instructed the Navy to buy 5 warships. Another usurpation of congressional power. Only the Congress can make appropriations like that. Additionally, he suspended the constitutional right of habeas corpus for the secessionists on April 27th, and now that's the illegal detention thing we're concerned about right now. On May 3rd, he put thousands more troops into service and ordered the Department of the Treasury to lay out $2 million to outfit them. And again, all of these actions were violations of the very Constitution that Lincoln said he was so jealous to preserve. Now, here's the real kicker in all of this. Did you know that 13 years earlier, in a speech while serving as U.S. Congressman in 1848, Abraham Lincoln said, quote, "Any people, anywhere, being inclined and having the power, have the right to rise up and shake off the existing government and form a new one that suits them better." This is a most remarkable, a most sacred right, a right which we hope and believe is to liberate the world. Nor is this right confined to cases in which the whole people of an existing government may choose to exercise it. Any portion of such people that can may revolutionize and make their own so much of the territory as they inhabit, end quote. Can you believe that? Oh, it gets better. Lincoln nationalized the railroads, yeah, created 3 new states without the consent of the citizens of those states, deported political opponents. Oh, my goodness. And I know all of this developed in extraordinary times, but the fact is, listen, the Constitution is only as strong as the integrity of the people who are holding the levers of power in this country, and that is the point. Americans are turning power over to some of the most unscrupulous, deceiving, scheming, lying scoundrels in our history who do not have the preservation of the Union in their mind or the liberation of slaves. Rather, their intent is to dissolve the Union and reform it into a European socialist state subordinated to the one world government crowd. When men of low character are entrusted with the care of our liberties, we cannot hope they will endure. So anyway, the scare emails you're getting about the National Defense Authorization Act are for the most part unfounded. What you should be concerned about, however, is what Reagan said years ago, the fact that our liberties are truly only one generation from extinction. And this, when you, America, elevate men of low character to high positions of power, they will use that power to enslave you. No contract, not even the Constitution, can protect you from dishonest men. We had better revive the spirit of our laws. Our firm belief in the inalienable rights endowed to us by our Creator and our dependence upon divine providence to protect us. And that prepares us for another look at the growing assault on another important inalienable right, the right to bear arms. Hold on to the break. I'll be right back.
Warning, Pastor Scheidbach is not politically correct. And even more shocking, he is a Christian who uses the word God and prays in Jesus' name in public. Dragon and Prince of the Power of the Air. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air, swinging the sword of truth at the dragons of deceit, thrusting the blade of incisive insight into the belly of liberal lies, lies that blind men's mind in darkness. He wants to know if you have his back. Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and make your donation today, or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457.
Church is not the place to be trolling for chicks, and it's not a talent show for rockers. So, if you want a rock concert, call Ticketmasters. But if you're looking for a church that takes the lordship of Jesus seriously, and you can endure sound doctrine proclaimed straight from the Bible with the preaching that tells it like it is, without fear or compromise, come to the Lighthouse, where we are shining the light of God's truth to help families safely navigate through the moral storms of our day. Call 347-9887 for more information.
The science of a brain massage. The brain masseur uses words like fingers to massage your gray matter, forming insights of the mind that stimulate the pituitary to signal the adrenal to release norepinephrine neurotransmitters and to fire these neurons through the sympathetic nervous system affecting the heart. During a typical brain massage, the skilled brain masseur uses incisive logic to arrest our attention and nuanced razor-sharp rhetoric to cut away the tangled knots in our brains. When these knots are removed, the electrical impulse of stimulating insights fire the neurotransmitters so they can leap the synapse gaps. This generates a sort of sparkling effect in the brain that sometimes causes the countenance of a brain massage listener to glow. Additionally, sudden bursts of energy caused by the release of glucose from energy stores throughout your body increases the heart rate, while the pituitary gland in the brain releases all five types of dopamine at once. And this creates that sense of euphoria experienced by many brain massage listeners. And that is the science of a brain massage. Warning. Pastor Scheidbach is not politically correct. And even more shocking, he is a Christian who uses the word God and prays in Jesus' name in public.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, brain masseur and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps in the church belfry yard, singling the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberty. Remember, the Second Amendment does not create a right to bear arms. It acknowledges the people's fundamental right to defend themselves and says that because it is necessary for armed citizens to be available to the service of the state, that therefore the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. I explained the meaning of the word militia last time, but there's some misinformation out there. Let's clarify. It refers to citizens who are identified by a state as available to be called into military service on behalf of their state. Now, this militia is expected to be well-regulated, which means they are under the direction and control of the body that regulates them, and that would be the state. When these well-regulated militia are called into the service of the country as a whole, by the Congress, by the way, which is the only power that is supposed to be able to do that, well, then they come under the direction and regulation of the Commander-in-Chief or President of the United States and not before. So the militia does not refer to the average citizen, rather to citizens who are identified as part of that band of armed citizens who are to be prepared to respond to a call to arms on behalf of their government. Because it is necessary that we have such a militia in every state, it was therefore considered particularly important that specific mention be made that the right of the average American citizen to keep and bear arms for self-defense or self-protection shall not be infringed. Now, furthermore, I pointed out that Jesus Christ specifically instructed his disciples to arm themselves for the purpose of self-defense during his absence. We are obliged by the authority of Jesus Christ, our Lord, to sell our coat if necessary, to procure such weapons for self-defense. So, the things to remember are these. First, the right of self-defense is fundamental. It is a natural right that arises from our natural, inalienable right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So we come to the issue of regulating that right. And some use that language, well-regulated militia, to say, well, right there, regulations, you see, specifically mentioned. But friend, that only applies to the militia. That's not talking about the people's right to bear arms. To the people, the rule is no infringement, my friend. Nothing the executive or the Congress or the judiciary or any other man, the state legislator or anybody. Nobody is supposed to have the power to infringe upon our right to keep and bear arms. Now think about it. All these liberals calling for us to put down our guns, what they mean is give them up. And they won't be satisfied until they've got all our guns. But like that, you know, fat white guy, Michael Moore, who's lecturing the, hey, white man, calm down and put down your guns or something like that. All these guys, they've got bodyguards that carry guns. Moore's bodyguard got busted a while back for carrying it in an airport. You might remember that. All of these guys, Barr, Feinstein, all of them, they all have armed protection available to them. And these people smugly tell you and they tell me that we don't need to have arms to protect ourselves because the police officers over there, they have the guns. What nonsense. Well, they depend on 911. It's always going to be like that, by the way, with these neo-dems. They are the elite. And of course, they can be trusted to conceal carry or they can have armed guards. But you see, you're supposed to expect help to get to you fast enough by dialing 911. And so first off, when every one of those bloated, and I don't mean merely the belly bloated Michael Moores, but the ego bloated neo-dems who think you and I should not have the right to arm ourselves for our protection. Look, when those hypocritical snobs put away their guns and dismiss their guards and depend on 911 with the rest of us, well, then at least I'll consider they have some integrity in their argument. Then I'll bother listening to them. Until then, you've got nothing to say to me. When King Obama can make certain his kids go to a school with armed guards there to protect them, and that low-belly hypocrite Gregory can make sure his kids are safe in the school that they go to because they're protected by armed guards, when those lousy, good-for-nothing, self-righteous, selfish people, look, when they put their kids in schools without any protection from rogue monsters like Adam, then at least I'll have at least respect for their attempt to discuss the issue with me. But until then, they just need to shut up. They've got nothing to say. At least then I'd argue about their lack of good judgment. But in this case, I have absolutely no respect for these people. We're talking about people so arrogant, so elitist. I mean, it is insulting that our president would insist that his children get protection that he refuses to allow for all of our children. So right off the bat, one thing needs to be made very clear here. You liberals have absolutely nothing to say so long as you provide special protection for your children and refuse to allow us to provide that protection for ours. Lousy hypocrites. How dare you? Shame on you. You ought to be ashamed of yourselves. Every one of you. You, Mr. Obama, you should be absolutely ashamed of yourself for opposing a protection for our children that you insist that you have for yours. It's insulting, degrading, and I'll tell you what, it shows just who these people really are. Arrogant snobs who think they are above all of us. Every school in this country ought to have armed guards on campuses. And every teacher in every classroom ought to be able to access a weapon to protect his or her children in that classroom if they desire to do so. Hey, Mr. Liberal Man, if you can be trusted to have a concealed carry, so can a teacher in our classrooms. And then the police officers, even in our community, some of them, and across the nation, who imagine they're a better breed of human being than only they can have weapons, and we're supposed to just, you know, wait for them to show up? What kind of nonsense is this? What hubris? I know what happens. You live in a circle in the community that is on the low end of character, but don't extrapolate onto the general population your experience with that small circle of the underbelly in our city or any city. The fact is, a well-armed, responsible citizenry is a police officer's best friend. Recently, an armed citizen saved the life of a police officer. Did you hear about that one? Now, of course, they need to be responsible, but what makes you think they can't be? What exactly makes anyone think the only people that can be responsible carriers of a weapon are the police officers or the military over there shooting somebody in Afghanistan? Look, Most citizens can be, and those who own weapons are, responsible gun owners and use the weapon responsibly. Now, you know what? Jesus calls us sheep, and sheep we are to him, not to you. We're not your sheep. And I, for one, refuse to allow myself to become a kept animal in your zoo. I don't care how careful you are about protecting me. By the time you arrive, I'll be dead, or my wife or child will be dead. No thanks. I'll take responsibility for myself and my family, and I would think that of all people in our community, our police officers would be the most supportive of our right to protect ourselves. So put armed guards in the schools yesterday. Anyway, I'm out of time. Gotta go. I've lit the lamps in the church belfry arch. Now you call and let me know if you see that they are on. The number to call is 1-888-770-8000. That's 1-888-770-8000. And leave a message on our listener response hotline. Say, lights on if you agree with what I'm saying. Lights off if you disagree. Or you can write me by email by going to our website, thebrainmassageshow.com. That's thebrainmassageshow.com. Looking forward to unveiling our new website. It's in development right now. But you can right now go to thebrainmassageshow.com, click on the Contact Us button, and follow the prompts. It's a great way for my podcasters to make contact with the Brain Masseur, so call me today. Lights on or lights off, I would love to hear from you. God bless you. God save America. See you in church.
How to know if you are a lights on or a lights off listener. If you find yourself suddenly feeling like someone turned on a bright light inside your head, and this is followed by a sense of euphoria, described by some as a feeling that you have just been enveloped into the warm and comforting embrace of the truth, then you are a lights on listener. However, if you experience sudden bursts of rage, uncontrolled trembling of the lower lip, sweaty palms, and mental disorientation, then you are definitely a lights-off listener. Now that you know what symptoms to look for, call 888-770-8000 and leave your message. Is it lights on or lights off? Call 888-770-8000. The pastor is ready to receive your message.
Enjoying your brain massage experience? Do you wish everyone could? Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and make your donation today, or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457. Like Paul Revere's lantern lighter, Pastor Scheidbach is lighting the lamps in the Belfry Arch, alerting all Americans that the commies are coming. The commies are coming. Help us spread the message. Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com or write us at Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457.
Lighthouses have inspired our best songwriters, poets, and painters. They symbolize faithfulness, bravery, truth. Many families are like ships adrift in a troubled sea. A recent study showed that our teens prefer the traditional, stable, two-parent family modeled by Ozzy and Harriet in the 50s to the bizarre, dysfunctional family modeled by Ozzy Osbourne. But they have little hope their marriages will last. The dominant influences in their lives reinforce the message of moral ambivalence that has destroyed so many families in America. Our peer-sensitive kids are constantly barraged by messages of disdain for Christianity, and yet it is in Christianity that our families can find the help and support they need to achieve the family stability they desire. But there is a lighthouse for the family, shining the light of truth, piercing the darkness of deceit that has settled over our land, and that is why the word lighthouse is in our name. Visit the Lighthouse Baptist Church, 1310 West Bedaravia Road in Santa Maria. Look for the Lighthouse. Call 347-9887 for more information.
For a complete brain massage experience, tune in Saturdays at 7:30 a.m. and go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com. The Brain Masseur is preparing to massage your brain.